Okay. Quite a few of us here from Crossroads Church have recently been doing a wholeness course, and it relates to Christians becoming whole based on Psalm 18, verse 24. And in the Message Bible it says, God made my life complete when I placed all the pieces before him. And that scripture has led to quite a bit of circumspection for me and kind of rewriting of my thinking. So the title of today is Compassion and Brokenness. Pam, I'm trusting you. I'm not gonna look at the back. Okay, I love collecting seashells. And the kids were fascinated by this one at the beginning. We all had our ears to hear the sound, to the sound of the sea. And I marvel at the creativity of God every time I find a perfect, beautiful shell. But it mustn't be broken, and it mustn't have holes or stains or cracks or any of that. It's got to be perfect. In one holiday, I had a strange sense, and it seemed to be from the Lord, that said, I want you to collect broken and damaged shells. I found this really difficult. Each time I'd pick up a piece of shell and I found it was broken or damaged, my natural inclination was back into the sea, back into the sand. But I stuck to the brief and I kept on collecting these pieces of broken shells. And I'd find a piece of mother of pearl and it would just be beautiful, and I would study that little piece. And I thought, you know, in spite of the damage inflicted on those shells, it can still be truly beautiful. It's been exposed to storms at sea, or it's been smashed on the shore, but still, there's beauty there. And as I spent my time studying that unique collection of damaged shells, it led me to some more soul searching. Broken things, we despise them, we throw them away. In fact, I heard, while we were praying, I heard a cup crash to the floor, and I thought how appropriate that was for me. Somebody, while they were preparing the tea, had dropped a teacup, and I could just picture it shattering into 1,000 pieces. And so that was just a message for me that actually talking about brokenness is on track. So we despise them and we throw them away. I bet all those pieces were just picked up and tucked into the bin. Anything we don't need any longer, we throw it away. Damaged goods, and that includes people. In marriages, when relationships break down, the tendency is to walk away and find someone new rather than to work at reconciliation. The world is full of broken people, broken hearts, broken spirits, broken relationships. And that brokenness we can find in ourselves, although we try very hard to hide it. But it's also found round and about. So brokenness can be found within and without. So then I thought, well, maybe my perspective needs changing on this. Maybe my eyes have become blinkered and influenced by the standards of the world. You know, where they advertise and the media and it says you must only settle for perfection. Maybe I couldn't see like God was seeing. And perhaps there's a parable for all of us here. The broken shell perspective stands starkly against the cynical world that ties up worth and perfection. Something is only worthwhile if it's perfect. Perhaps the ability to see beauty in broken seashells resembles a God who loves to pick up the fragments of shattered lives and gently put them back together again. We are so surrounded by brokenness every day, and I think maybe in South Africa in particular, but probably all countries, that we almost become immune to it. We often turn a blind eye, and the story of the Good Samaritan has come up often for us here at Crossways in the last weeks, and I was reminded of that, and how the religious people, they walked around the side. They didn't want to get involved. They didn't want to get their hands dirty. So perhaps it's time for a reality check. Brokenness is a fact of life. And if as believers we don't have a solution to offer, who are we kidding? We also all have areas of brokenness ourselves, which we often work very hard at hiding. And we fall into that erroneous thinking that Christians shouldn't feel damaged, and that maybe people won't accept us if they see the real us. All of this thinking led me to investigate brokenness some more. And in a book of Anne Voskamp's called The Broken Way, she sheds a lot of light on that subject. How are we, the people of God, to live with, live through, live in victory through our scars and our unspoken broken? Have any or maybe even all of us felt at times that life is too tough? The scars run too deep. We're damaged by life. Then there's sheer relief that comes from knowing that even Jesus, our Savior, broken in our stead, experienced this feeling of aloneness and abandonment when he faced the cross. That question that he called out in his moment of agony is the same one we cry out to have answered when life doesn't go according to plan. My God, why have you forsaken me? In the face of a shocking diagnosis, a devastating drought, the death of a young person, like that Michael House bus accident that happened, we look at that and we say, what? In general, we're not good at facing brokenness. We like Pinterest. Sarah probably loves Pinterest. Facebook, beautiful homes, people without problems, good food, laughter, good times. That's what we like. That's what we naturally drawn to. Brokenness, sacrifice, suffering, pain, not so much. But the key here for me is that the wound in Jesus' side on the cross proves that he is on the side of the broken and wounded. Just think about that. He was wounded in his side. Just that thought, he is on our side. God uses broken things. It takes broken soil to produce a crop, broken clouds to give rain, broken grain to give bread, broken bread to give strength. It is the broken alabaster box that gives forth perfume. It's Peter weeping bitterly who returns to greater power than ever. And that's a quote from Vance Havner. Not many of us have understood the breaking of the jar. It's easy to fall into that trap of calling it a waste of resources, exactly like they did in the Old Testament when the valuable perfume alabaster jar was broken. It was called a waste of resources. So we don't really understand brokenness. And the problem too is that we don't like it. Have you noticed that whenever Jesus fed the multitudes, whether it was with the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes or at the communion table. And I have such a lovely picture in my mind. Barb's, when she did communion a while back, she picked up the loaf and she held it up and she broke it. And I thought that's brokenness was such a beautiful picture. So when he was feeding the 5,000, he broke the loaves and the fishes at the communion table. It involved breaking and brokenness. He broke and gave. He broke and gave. He broke and gave. There seems to be a link. So can we therefore be broken and give? Why is it that we're afraid of broken things? When our children drop and break things, they get it ticking off. We throw broken things away. And yet John 12:24 says, I say to you that unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. We have a lovely example of that, Harvey and I. We started our Alzheimer's home because of Harvey's mum having Alzheimer's. And we think back sometimes and we think the brokenness of that disease has led to many, many. I think we probably over the 14 years, maybe 70 people have been through a place in the country. Harvey's sister also started a place. and she's probably had 50 people that she's cared for. So mum's brokenness, the fruit of that was all of those people being cared for. So brokenness can lead to fruit. We just need to let it do that. So God did that with Jesus. He allowed him to be broken so that the fruit could spread to all of us. It seems that the art of living is in the giving. Isaiah 58:7-9 says, "What I'm interested in seeing you do is sharing your food with the hungry, inviting the homeless poor into your homes, putting clothes on the shivering ill-clad, being available to your own families. Do this, and the lights will turn on, and your lives will turn around at once. Your righteousness will pave your way. The God of glory will secure your passage. Then when you pray, God will answer. You'll call out for help, and he'll say, 'Here I am.'" There's a whole lot of encouragement there for the brokenness which we experience and which crosses our paths. There was a psychology study done in 2011, and it proves that we get increased endorphins. Endorphins is the feel-good stuff when you've been running or doing gym or whatever. Increased endorphins, lowered blood pressure, reduced anxiety, and a stronger immune system from random acts of kindness. Some of you may recall the spate a while back on social media where everyone was doing random acts of kindness. But our God already knew that. He didn't need social media to teach him that. He already knew when he inspired Isaiah to write those words we just read, that in fact, there's such a positive spin-off to us from doing random acts of kindness. It's strange that people are keen to change the world, but seldom do they see this in the making of just one broken person feel loved. Light could shine in all the brokenness of the world, the unspoken broken of our body of believers even, but it's costly. It requires giving of ourselves. It requires a definite move out of our comfort zone. And boy, do we guard our comfort zone. Many of us have bucket lists. I wonder what's on yours. Harvey and I were given a bucket when we left the farm. The community gave us a bucket, and it was such a fun thing. The bucket was full of cash. Money was spilling out of it, but inside of there were all these little ideas that people had of things that we should do in our retirement. It was on our bucket list, and we had a hoot. One of them was skinny dipping, and I said to the person, "Too late." But bucket lists are fun. But in fact, by their very nature, a bucket list is self-absorbed. You know, it's all about me, and it's all about what's going to be fun for me and good for me. But in the teachings that we've been looking at just lately, it's all about me, but in fact, it's all about Jesus. So, I came across an acronym for GIFT. It says, "Give it forward today." How then can we break brokenness, our own, as well as the brokenness which crosses our paths all the time? Isaiah 61:1 says, "He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted. Be the gift of Jesus to the broken today." I was talking about buckets earlier, and you're wondering why I was talking about bucket lists. How do we fill a bucket? Well, before you can fill it, it needs to be emptied. It needs to be poured out, and it's only then that we can receive more of Jesus to be able to pour out again. So to be the gift of Jesus today, we need to be emptied ourselves. Philippians 2:11 gives us Jesus' example. He emptied himself. So in the giving, we empty ourselves, in the giving to the broken, and then we need the refilling from him. Perhaps we need to rethink our definition of a great life. You do something great with your life when you do all the small things with great love. Pour out your life in small moments. A remarkable life isn't one in which you are noticed, but one in which you leave behind noticeable marks of His love everywhere. A place in the country, and I talk a lot about it because it was very much a training ground for me. It was the best training ground possible for that, because the folks staying there couldn't recall tomorrow what you'd done with them today. So they needed a new dose of Jesus' love and Jesus' patience every day. So, and it didn't matter what form that took. It might be today, it might be a hairdo, tomorrow it might be a walk in the garden, or doing a puzzle, or dancing, or hugging, or praying, or changing a nappy, or whatever. The real love there had to be in the really small stuff. And there was many a day when I started work, and I would think, I can't do this today. I've got nothing to give. But what I'd find without fail at the end of that day, because I just had to give of myself. They needed and I had to give. I would come out at the end of that day and I'd think, oh, I feel a whole lot better than I did this morning. And it was in the giving that the blessing came. And there was no fanfare. There was seldom gratitude expressed even. But their eyes told the story. And also the extended goodnight hugs at night when you tuck them into bed. So we learned there that the best way to de-stress is to bless. And there, once again, Jesus knew that. Acts 20:35 says it's more blessed to give than to receive. So we need to be the gift to somebody else who's broken. Another useful thing that I learned there was what I've called now the ministry of presence. And when I say presence, it's not the presence, the gift that we spoke about earlier. It's presence as in being with. Sometimes words are superfluous. We cop out of things. We say, well, I didn't go and see them because I didn't know what to say, or I didn't know what to do when it's a really difficult situation. We had one lesson, Harvey and I, that taught us this in no uncertain terms. A guy in our home group phoned us at 3 a.m. and said, my wife's just had a heart attack. And she's dead. She's in the bed next to me. Now that sort of thing takes your breath away. And we said, what? How do you respond to that? And we obviously left straight away, got dressed. And as we were walking out, we grabbed a bag of firewood. I don't really know why, but we did. Grabbed a bag of firewood and off we went to the friend. And we made a fire in his fireplace, and we just sat with him. And I learned that night what the ministry of presence is. What do you say in the face of suffering like that? There's not a lot you can say, but we could be with him. So it was the witness, and there isn't a word like that, I don't think, but the witness breaks brokenness. Here at Crossways, we place a high value on relationship. But our everyday needs to reflect that as much as our Sundays do. We need a willingness to be inconvenienced. And this is the ultimate proof of love. And I talk so loudly to myself at this point. One of the most crushing lies currently peddled in Christian circles is that our life is supposed to be free of suffering, or loss, or anything that breaks, for that matter. But how, pray tell, are we to learn compassion without exposure to brokenness? I was fascinated to discover this Japanese art form called, you know Japanese people here, hey? Kintsukuroi, I think. They consider a bulb repaired so precious that it's done with gold or silver. How about we begin seeing ourselves who have been broken and are being repaired as art forms? Also, we could see the broken individuals marriages, relationships around as potential works of art. As they come into contact with the love and compassion of Jesus and the body of believers. That's the gold and the silver doing the repair job. Without question, we can empathize more effectively when we've walked a road of brokenness of some kind. And it doesn't matter what that road is. You will have your own road. It can be divorce. It can be grief. It can be acts of unkindness, sickness, poverty, loss of job, financial insecurity. It can be untrue gossip, anything. You will have your own. And that list is long. But is that not the very power of testimony? I have walked the path and I have seen Jesus at work. Who can argue with that? No one can. If you've walked that path, you've seen Jesus at work. That's the power of testimony, and that's what we need to use within in brokenness. Matthew 25:40 says, "Insofar as you did this to one of the least of these brothers of mine, you did it to me." Our care for others is a way to deepen our relationship with Jesus. I think that we are where we are to help others where they are. We are where we are to help others where they are. Compassion is our complete vocation. So in case you sometimes wonder what you should be doing with or in your life, compassion is a good place to start. If we try to define the character of Jesus, I think one definition could be he was moved with compassion. And the word compassion actually means com is together and passion, the passion of Jesus that we talk about, suffering. So suffering together. For the Lord has comforted his people and will have compassion on his afflicted, says Isaiah 49:13. So let's not swallow that lie that we can only help if we've got things together ourselves. Usually what makes us feel most disqualified to care is what makes us the most qualified. A simple, vulnerable, available heart in the hands of Jesus is the most powerful tool. So then, to end, to look at the broken shells. Here's the picture. I'm licking the microphone, not my hand. It shows you how nervous I've been. To look back at the broken shells, here's the picture of God that I get from that study. A God who sees how the waves of life batter and rage against us and who doesn't love us any less. A God who chooses the foolish to confound the wise, the weak to shame the strong. A God who offered himself up to be broken so the world could be put back together again. A God who showcases broken seashells, knowing what we once were, and better yet, what we will one day again become. So, let's go out and be the gift. Give it forward today, and just even in our brokenness, be prepared to be used. And I don't think I can end without saying that if anybody really would like prayer in an area of brokenness, that's what we're here for. So just sneak up to someone or to me or to any of the folk in the church. If there's an area of brokenness that you really feel you'd like someone to get alongside you in. Thanks. Thanks, Tim.
Thank you, Anna. It's very special, and just really feel like God spoke through you today, and